In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, Spirit of the living God, move within my heart, that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be found acceptable in your sight. For you are my Lord, you are my strength, you are my Redeemer, Lord Christ. It is in your name we pray these things. Amen. We begin today, I begin today, by offering a special blessing upon all who has a birthday today. Happy birthday, one and all, especially to a certain lady up in Texas. I don't know about you, but over the last several days, as I've watched the local news and all our local personalities talking about this time of year and what it all means, you know, they've hurried up and run past Christmas. You know, this is the sixth day of Christmas, contrary to what they're babbling on about. But one of the things that they were really heavy on yesterday, I noticed in the news I was watching, especially on Channel 8, was getting ready to get your New Year's resolutions in place. It was of utmost importance that we get that little job done, you know. Get them written down. Put them someplace where you'll see them and remind you about them. Well, that's probably a good idea, because the truth of the matter is, I've read that on average, New Year's resolutions have about a 10-day or less lifespan. I know for myself, that's pretty much what it has been, you know. And Alex will testify to the fact, you know, Dad has said, he's going to lose weight. And then my daughters and my wife bake all these wonderful goodies that I just am tempted and drawn to along the way. And they're quite good, aren't they, son? Yes, yes, they are. Resolutions, you know, like Father, we're going to read the Bible more, and we're going to do this, but we're going to be in church every Sunday, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. All these resolutions, they just come and go rather quickly. Well, let's leave this alone for a bit. We'll come back to it. Today is the sixth day of Christmas. It's the sixth day of Christmas, the first Sunday after Christmas. It's part of that great 12 days of Christmas that the church remembers and celebrates the incarnation of our Savior Christ, the coming of the Messiah into the world, bringing God's great hope and salvation to humankind. Can you imagine how I felt when I was at my favorite store down here in Florida of late? Walmart. And I was just an aisle over from where all the Christmas decorations and things were. And I'm listening to a conversation of three people working in the next aisle over from me. And I'm not being really critical, hypercritical of these ladies at all, but I heard one of them say, and I wanted to shout about it, you know, now that Christmas is almost over, we can get on to other things, you know, important stuff. They're busy putting Valentine's things up, by the way. And it was Christmas Eve. Oh, well, what do they know, right? Oh, well, I'm not being critical of them. It's just our modern reality. We can't wait to do the mercantile, the marketing season. And so no later than Halloween, we begin to get everything out and begin to push it on television, radio, and everywhere else we can. And as soon as we can, we move on to the next thing without probably even pausing for a moment. to really allow what this is all about to have a real impact on us individually, so that collectively we can do the kingdom work that we have been called to do. Our gospel again says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. My friends in Christ, I want to tell you something. I really had a good time Christmas Eve as the children put this together for us, this beautiful nativity scene. It's the whole Matthean and Luke story. Shepherds, wise men with expensive gifts, a manger, a cattle shed, etc. What we have in these first 14 verses of John's gospel is his nativity story. I'm going to tell you something very personal. It's my favorite. It's my favorite. I remember one of my seminary professors, Raymond Brown, telling us that in these 14 verses, is the entire essence of the entire gospel. God coming on a rescue mission and taking human form, became incarnate. All of us who have been parents, who are parents, understand fully what it means to have an infant. They're the most helpless creature in all of creation. And yet, God deemed to become that most helpless of all creatures. They can't do a thing for themselves. Left on their own, they die. They die. And yet, God entrusted himself to this teenage girl and a stepfather, a carpenter. Took on human form and lived amongst us, dwelt amongst us. Why? Have you ever contemplated that? Have you ever thought about why God would make himself so vulnerable? Why he would put himself in such a position that the creator of everything, why would he do that? Our children's lesson was extremely good, and we didn't coordinate. We should have, but we didn't need to with that heart, because it represents the answer. The answer is found in these 14 verses, because God loved us enough that he made himself that vulnerable. He loved us enough to become incarnate, real in our world. And yes, that last chapter in that life, as he hung on the cross and he died to take away our sin, all known from the very beginning of time. And he did it anyway. Why? Because he loved you. He loved each and every one of us throughout all time. And he recognized that we had made such a mess out of it, our lives. And we have no way possible of doing anything about it on our own. And our only hope, was for that love to come down and take human form. And for our sake, became one of us in flesh, that we might have the opportunity, that we might have the opportunity of redemption. Now, that's a hard thing for us to get our mind wrapped around, I know. But that's what it is. And that's what John is trying to tell us here, you know? The Word was made flesh, dwelt among us. That's what this whole season is about. It's not about all that mercantile that we've all been participating in as we bought gifts and we kept the American economy, you know, shooting forward as we did. And we did it in record numbers, I understand. It has nothing to do with that whatsoever. It has everything to do with Jesus coming down and becoming incarnate in this world. Now, I don't know what you're going to do or what you've already done about this resolution nonsense. That's judgmental. I'm sorry. Earlier conversation in the entryway. I don't know what you're going to do about all this resolution business. But I'm going to ask you to do something. I want you to throw it away. I want you to forget about it. I want you just to completely wipe it away. And instead, what I'm going to ask you to do is that you'll instead embrace the incarnation for yourself. And you allow Christ to be incarnate in you. Because I'm going to tell you something, that rescue mission is for naught. It won't mean a thing for you unless you do incarnate it personally into your life. Until and unless you allow Jesus to be born inside of you, it loses all of its actual meaning and power. That's a fact. For it to be of real value, it doesn't matter how many lights or trees or whatever else and baubles we put up, how we out-decorated people down the street, if our HOA allowed it, or whatever. What matters ultimately is whether or not Jesus Christ takes hold of who and what we are. And then the way in which we live and the way he influences and changes and alters our very being. Because that's the only opportunity we have ever of doing anything right or good. It does not exist inside of any one of us naturally. It is only Christ in us, the incarnation, that allows us ever to do anything that is good. And so my prayer on this sixth day of Christmas, on the first Sunday after Christmas, is that we truly will embrace that incarnation for ourselves, that we then may, in fact, do that kingdom work that we've here at Holy Innocence have been called to do, because it's the only opportunity that we will have to make it truly successful in the lives of others. May God make it so. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we ascribe all might, majesty, and dominion now and forevermore. Amen.